Good evening to each one of you. I've had a blessed day. Thank you for all those who made that possible, either by your fellowship, by the food, or whatever, just speaking to me. It's good to see some more faces and know a few more of you, get a picture of this congregation. Our brother has laid a very good foundation for the message this evening. And I'd like to expand on that some. I'd like to talk about Apostle Paul. You may open your Bibles to Acts chapter 9. This evening, the title of the message is, Which Direction Are You Traveling? And as I said, our brother was speaking about Paul, and he clearly showed us the travel of Apostle Paul. And we're going to look at his conversion here in Acts chapter 9. And we want to gain some lessons from this that we can apply to our own life. I think it's very important that we know where we're traveling to in life. A few years ago, I believe it was 2016, Summer Bible School, we had a theme, and the title was called Traveling the Road of Life. And the teacher brought signs in to illustrate that signs are used to give people direction. And they had various road signs that he brought in. And with that, the spiritual lesson that he taught us was that the Bible is our road signs to the road to life. The Bible is our source of direction. I also remember that there was another sign that the teacher brought in, and the teacher said that God doesn't place any of these signs on the road to life. And he had a detour sign. He said, the evil one, Satan, is the one that places those kinds of signs along the road to life. It's kind of interesting. And so as we think of traveling the road to life, I think we need to check ourselves. Which way are we traveling? Are we following the right sign? We just came past another year. Mark. It's a good opportunity to evaluate. Which direction are we traveling in our Christian life? Because this evening I believe that there is a right road to travel and there is a wrong road to travel. This evening we turned around a few times because we weren't going the right way. But you know what? I chose a right road and I got here. And you must have did the same thing. But you know, each one of us in our Christian life has the potential to be traveling the wrong way. Just like I was doing tonight on physical roads. But there is also a right road that we can travel. But you know, the way we can stay on that right road is if we follow the signs. And so we're going to have to see if we're following those signs and put some checks in and figure out some ways this evening to test us. And we have here the story of Apostle Paul, who was going down a road, but he changed course. And as we think of this, we want to ask the question, have we detoured off the road of life? Have we detoured off? Did we follow the wrong sign? Or did we ignore the signs that would take us right? And I believe this account in Acts chapter 9 shows us that God is keenly interested in the path that we're taking. is keenly interested in that. Are we open to what God may teach us? Because I believe God will be faithful in showing us the road we should be traveling. In Acts chapter 9, we have here Saul, was dedicated to the cause of killing Christians. He wanted to kill them, he wanted to get rid of them. And I want you to consider the passion of Saul as he endeavored to carry out these plans. And then we'll notice that God put a big road sign in his path, stopped him in his tracks. And you know, it's really sobering to think that Saul thought he was traveling the right way when he was actually going the wrong way. I think that's a sobering thought for each one of us. Could it be possible that we're traveling the wrong road and we think we're going right? And so I believe we need to be careful in considering the direction of our travel, because we want to make sure that our destination that we're going for is reached. And we certainly cannot afford to come to the end of life and discover we're traveling the wrong road. So for a question that I'd like for you to consider, which direction are you traveling? I'd like you to think about that as we go through this message. I like to read Acts chapter 9, and I believe for the time being I'll read Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 9. Acts 9, verses 1 through 9. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slumber against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, that he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, neither did he eat or drink. I like to stop right there for now. And I'd like to make some checkpoints this evening from this passage. I have quite a few. I'll probably give about, well, I'm not sure. I have quite a few of them, so we'll see how far we get. Checkpoints. Which direction are you traveling? Are you traveling the road of life? Number one checkpoint is the determination. I'd like to consider the determination of Saul. And this is simply firmness of purpose. And we find that in verse 1 or 2, 1 and 2. Breathing out threatenings and slaughter. Doesn't sound very nice, does it? No. And so he goes to the high priest, and he desires letters to Damascus. Because he was determined. He had a determination within his heart. And this evening we've talked about some of his determination or his credentials, what gave him the determination he had. And there was a few different things, and I'll mention them. One was that he was born into the right family. He was God's chosen people. It helps sometimes to be born in the right family, doesn't it? We know that term, don't we? Well, there we have Saul, born into the right family. So he had that. Secondly, he followed the Mosaic law blamelessly. I believe the Bible tells us that. He was obedient to the law. And he followed it blamelessly. So he had that credential on his back. Thirdly, I believe he spent time and energy studying the law. And I believe he was filled with much wisdom. He had a lot of brain knowledge. He had a lot of intellectual, I believe. And also fourthly, the religious functions were handed down from generation for generations. And so what Paul was enjoying, or what Saul was enjoying, was a hand-me-down from his grandfather to his father to him. And we call them traditions. And he had at least these four credentials that gave him, or helped give him, this determination that he had. Now, determination can either be good or bad, right? Determination can be good, determination can be bad. It can be used for bad purposes. But here we have a determination that was rooted in a false security. Saul was very zealous, but he was using his determination against Christ and his kingdom because he was operating from a wrong belief system. Well, I simply want to make it simple this evening. What kind of determination do you possess? As you think of traveling the road of life, as you think of the direction of your travel, are we certain this evening that the determination in our heart is built from truth and sanctioned by Jesus Christ? Is our determination in life to be more like Jesus? Is it to be building his kingdom? Which way are you traveling in life? You know, listen to this testimony that Paul had later in his life. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2, "For I determine not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." Can you imagine having that kind of determination in your life? That the only thing that you're going to purpose to know is Christ and him crucified. What a strong determination. That was later on in his life. But that's the test for you and I. Do you pass the test for that determination? Which way are you traveling on the road to life? Secondly, and our brother talked about this one, is the goal. In verses 1 and 2, he had this goal. And this goal was that he wanted to get rid of the Christians. He felt that these people threatened God's people. And he wanted to get rid of the Christians. And so first we see Saul. He was killing Christians in Jerusalem, it appears like, or in the local area. But that was not enough for Saul. So he goes to the high priest and he gets permission to go as far as Damascus. And it says here, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound. And so we see him making plans for his life. And I won't stay on this one long, but I believe setting goals is a noble aspiration, and we heard that this evening. But sometimes God isn't going to approve of our goals that we make. They have to be the right kind of goals. And sometimes we just are so determined to have our goal that we decide we're going to make it work no matter what. And the Lord starts to put road signs in our way that says, wait a minute, be cautious. I'm not sure if I want you to go this way. And we say, I'm going to do it. Because we've made our plans. Well, what kind of goals are we setting for life? I want to ask the question, are our goals going to take us away from God? Or are they taking us towards spiritual things in life? Are they bringing us closer to a friendship with God? Or are they taking us towards the idols of the world? See? Which way are you traveling? What goals are you pursuing? How do you go about pursuing them? What about this test? In James chapter 4, verse 15, for that we ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Isn't that a good checkpoint? As you think of traveling the road to life, as you think of which direction you're traveling, if it's the Lord's will, then I'll do it. Number three, another checkpoint, which way are we traveling? I like to consider the pursuit. The pursuit. Put to action in verses 1 through 3. You know, we had determination, and we had it coupled with goals, and now we have the action. And I believe, if I have this right, Paul traveled up to 150 miles to accomplish his determination and his goal. And that wasn't riding a car, I don't believe. It took him a while to get there. What was he doing? He was going 150 miles in search of Christians. His hatred for them was so intense. His determination, his goal was to get them. And we see here Saul taking strides, extreme strides in pursuit to catching the Christians in order to kill them. And only God knows how far this determination, this intensity, this pursuit would have went if God would have not kindly intervened in his life. And I believe the hurts that Saul caused already, or that he was causing, was justified in the name of religion. But I believe it must have grieved him later on in his life. And so, wrong determination and wrong goals will produce wrong actions that will hurt us and others around us. Our thoughts eventually become actions. And so we need to be careful what our thought life is like, because it ends up coming out in our life. Most of you have probably heard the words of the song, sin will take you farther than you want to go. Sin will cost you far more than you want to pay. And so I asked a question this evening. Are our pursuits the kind of actions that we will be satisfied with later on in life? Or will we have regrets? Are our pursuits loving others? Or are they hurting others? Are there any pursuits that we need to give up because they're doing more harm than good? This is a question that we can consider as we think of traveling the road to life. And here's a test for you. Colossians 3, verse 17. And whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Everything we do, in the name of Jesus, with thankfulness. Which way are we traveling? Number four, I like to consider the call. And we see that in verse 4. We see Jesus intervening in the plans that Saul had made, and he calls to Saul, 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 why persecutest thou me? And there's four things that I'd like to consider. We see that a bright light shone down from heaven, I believe in verse 3. And this here got Saul's attention. It was something out of the ordinary. A bright light. And we see here also that Jesus speaks to Saul. It was a reality. This wasn't some vague thing. I believe that. Saul heard the voice of Jesus speaking to him. We also see that Jesus used Saul's personal name, a personal touch. This wasn't just some vague call for anyone who's listening. This was a direct call. Saul. Saul, Saul. And the other thing we notice is that Jesus asked him a question to help him understand. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He asked a question. And so we see there's a dramatic happening that Saul could not miss. And Jesus was sending a roadblock to Saul because he wanted a change of course. But you know, Saul had a choice to make. Saul had to choose how he was going to respond. I don't believe this was something that Saul just had to do. No. Saul had to make that choice. And I believe today that Jesus is still speaking to us. And there's various ways that God can speak to us. He can speak to us through the Word of God. He can speak to us through circumstances. He can speak to us through the voice of the Holy Spirit. He can speak to us through the brotherhood. He can speak to us to other people. And oftentimes when Jesus speaks, it might be just a small, still voice that can easily be pushed aside. I don't believe that we should expect such a dramatic happening. Sometimes God may send them for a wake-up call. And so I want to ask the question this evening, are we listening to the voice of God speaking to us? As we think of traveling the road to life, is there anything that God may be trying to tell us? And we're not listening because we've got our goals, we've got our determination, we've got our pursuit, and we're following them with all our heart, and we're drowning out what God may be trying to tell us. And God may be saying to us, wait a minute, I want you to go this way. Don't go there. Here's a way I want you to go. But the question is, are we listening? Or have we crowded out His voice? A challenge for my life in the last year. Has God asked something of us? Has God asked anything of me that I've said, no, no thanks. I'm just not going there. Which way are we traveling? What about this test? John chapter 10, verse 27, it says, my sheep hear my voice and know them, and they follow me. Are we listening to the call? Which way are we traveling? Are we on the road to life? Fifthly, another checkpoint is the openness. We find that in verse 5. And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And here we see that Saul seems to ignore the question that Jesus asked in verse 4. But I don't believe that Saul was being obstinate, but I think he was more intent in finding out what's going on and what's happening and who's speaking to him. And I see this as a positive step in Paul's life. I see this as a positive step in seeking truth. Paul was finally asking the right question to find out the most important answer to the question in life. I I think that's very important for us today. Asking the right question is an important step in finding the right way of travel. If we need answers in life, I believe we need to seek them. I believe not knowing truth will set us up for failure. But sometimes we kind of, well, we just rather not know. Know what I'm talking about? We just rather not know. It's more comfortable that way. Because if I don't know, then I might not have to do it. It might not be revealed to me. And we want to be ignorant in hopes to lessen conviction or accountability, but the truth will direct us in our way. And so the question that I asked again this evening is, have we opened ourselves to the truth? Do we have the openness that Paul had here as he asked that question? Who art thou, Lord? Who art thou? Have we asked God to show us the way to truth? Do you want to experience that freedom that God has for you? And what about this test? If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with the other, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. See, there's something about openness that helps us to go the right way in life. The openness. Which way are we traveling in life? And sixthly, I would like to consider the revelation. And we see that also in verse 5. Here we see Jesus introducing Himself to Saul. I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And then Jesus says, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I believe the words, I am Jesus, spoke volumes to Saul, because this Jesus was the one that the world wanted to say was dead. They wanted to make lies about Him. When He rose, they got together and they paid money to say, just tell them that the disciples stole Him. Okay? He was supposed to be dead. And here, Saul comes, and he's going on his mission. And guess what? Here he meets Jesus face to face, and this light shone down from heaven. And here Jesus is speaking right to him, the one that was supposed to be dead. And Jesus confronted Saul. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I believe that statement was revealing to Saul that he was living in a state of rebellion. And the revelation of Jesus was all that Saul needed to help him realize he needed a change of heart. And without this revelation of Jesus, every one of us would be lost. You know, Jesus is our hope. The story of Jesus is simple. It is easy to understand. It doesn't take professional training. You don't have to go to college for a few years. No. It's easy to understand. It's easy to understand that the message of Jesus is hope for us. And it's easy to understand that we're sinful. And that Jesus is the answer for our problems and our sin in life. Jesus is the road to life, and the sinner and the saint alike need Christ. The sinner needs Christ because he needs Him as a way to salvation. But so does the Christian. He needs to continue to come back and lean on Christ. Well, what am I saying? You know, there's people who are trying to make it to heaven without Jesus, and it will not work. Cannot work. Jesus is the only way that will take us to the road to life. And so the question is simple. Have we accepted Jesus as our only means of getting on the right road? You know, if you're trying to climb up some other way, get in without Christ, trying to do it on your own works and your own goodwill, it's not going to work. What about this test? In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Which way are we traveling in life? Are we on the road to life? Number 7, I like to consider the surrender. We see that in verse 6. I see surrender in this verse. There's 3 things that give it away. We see that he was trembling. Paul, or Saul, who seemed to have changed his self-confident attitude to one of fear. It wasn't long before this. Remember his goal, his pursuits. He was going 150 miles to accomplish something in life. And now he was trembling because Jesus was speaking to him. We see also his astonishment and his surprise. Astonished. And I believe some of this may have been, Saul may have been ignorant of what God was wanting to tell him. But he was astonished. Maybe he was surprised to see Jesus. I'm not sure. But the circumstance itself was very surprising. But the other aspect of surrender I see is, Lord, what will you have me to do? He was now willing to step aside. Before this, he had gone to the high priest. He was making his plans. He was doing his thing. And now he says, God, Jesus, what do you want me to do? You know, I believe these different responses show us that Saul was willing to lay aside his agenda and take God's. Let's bring it close home. What about surrender? Surrender to God is a difficult personal choice to make. But when we surrender, we lay our will down at the cross and let it there. The surrender. And so I asked a question, have we surrendered our will to God? So that we can enjoy the relationship with God and have the confidence that we are on the right road. Have we said, God, what will you have me to do? Here's my life. Here's my plans. Here's my goals. Here they are. I'll give them to you. You tell me what I'm supposed to do. Matthew 16, verse 24 gives this test. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. The surrender. Which way are we traveling? Are we traveling the road to life? Eighthly, I like to also consider the direction. In verse 6, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what you must do. Jesus gives Saul direction. And it's interesting to me that Jesus didn't give Saul any direction until Saul asked, Lord, what do you want me to do? And that's interesting to me because I would like to point out that direction may be very good, but it doesn't profit us anything unless we're ready to hear it, unless we've surrendered to hearing it, unless we want to listen on it. And after we've surrendered, I believe God gives us ample direction. But as long as we're not surrendered, God doesn't need to really give us more direction because we don't listen anyway. Okay? But when Saul said, Lord, what will you have me to do? Jesus gave him direction. And so I simply want to ask the question, are we living out the direction that God has given us? What about this test in John chapter 14, verse 15? If you love me, keep my commandments. What a test. Well, I think I'm going to close with one more. I'm going to talk about his testimony just a little bit. I'm going to turn back Acts 9, and I'm going to look at verses 20 through 22. I like to read that. This is Saul. After his conversion here at Damascus, it says, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue, that he is the Son of God. Now he wasn't working against Christ, he was working for Christ. What a blessing. Verse 21, but all that heard him were amazed and said, is this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is the very Christ. And I love this testimony. And I want to simply say this, that a changed life is not easily missed. And I'll ask you this, can people see by the testimony of our life which way we are traveling? Is it clear to the people of the world, or do they have to wonder? Is it clear to our church brothers where we stand? Does the testimony of our life give evidence that we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and we're born of God? That there's a change that has happened in our life, that once we were like this, in sin, and we had our own pursuits and our goals, and we followed the lust of the flesh, but now we preach Christ, as it were. We follow Him. We increase more in strength. What about this test in 1 Timothy 4, verse 12? The testimony of Apostle Paul, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Which way are we traveling? And so this evening, just those few thoughts that I have to share with us to ponder our direction of travel. Does God have our life? Are we listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit? Are we listening to the Word of God? Are we paying attention which way we're traveling in life? Because as we do that, if we pay careful attention to that and we heed those road signs or the signs or the road map we have to the road to life, we'll find the road that leads to life. What a blessing. May God bless you as you continue to serve Him and follow Him. Let's kneel for prayer.